Hello, welcome to Sentence to Paragraph, a podcast on the space between wordcraft and the writer's life. My name is James Stiegel, and I'm joined by Darylyn Evans and Molly K. Martin. Today, we're talking about 2019, goals, systems, plans we want to implement in our writing practice, our business, and our lives. At least, I think that's what we're going to talk about.
I sort of think of it as more of an evil scheme to take over the world, but you can call it a plan for the next year.
One of the things I was going to talk about is like these various, sort of habit books I've been reading. And it's funny, as soon as you said that, I imagined like Kim Jong-un, like reading Atomic Habits and coming up with systems for oppression. That's not funny. Anyway, let's do some
friends and influence despots.
Exactly. Let's do some check-ins. Molly, how has your week been? Actually, it's been 3 weeks since we talked, so how has your 3 weeks been?
Yeah. Okay, it's been 3 weeks. Wow. With the start of the new year, I had some good resolutions starting off, and one of those included working out. And in the course of my working out, I do swimming, and I got an ear infection on day one.
Oh, man.
Aww.
Yeah. So, not being a very smart person, I decided to ignore the ear infection for about 4 more days until my husband took me to the urgent care. So that's been a really, like, and the reason that I bring that up is because swimming actually plays, when I do it, plays into my plotting time. I'm not necessarily a plotter, but I'm trying to learn to be. So when I swim, that's a great time that, my brain is not really doing anything. So I can just do my plotting while I do my swimming, and then I get out and I have all the endorphins from swimming, and then I'm all energized and I feel great because I've gone swimming, and I feel like it's okay for me to have a latte as a reward. So like all of these things work together as a habit reward kind of thing. And it's been really weird for me how much not being able to swim has derailed my writing process. Even though I had only done it for 4 days before I couldn't do it anymore.
Oh man, have you been able to get back to it?
Not yet. No, my ear is still pretty wonky.
I hate ear infections. Is it the kind of thing where you have like pressure and you want to just like pop it with a nail?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A doctor does not recommend popping eardrum with nail.
I've had that feeling. If I just jam an awl in there, that will make it better. Like it'll hurt for a little while and it'll stop.
Yeah. It's one of those things like... Darylyn and I were talking about this a little bit earlier, and it's a funny kind of thing that I think, you could really incorporate something like this into a character who's this just big, hard-charging, badass character, and then give them something like an ear infection, which is just, like, in many ways, it's a very debilitating thing to have.
Right.
But it's not obvious. You're like, oh, my ear hurts, but there's nothing apparently wrong with me.
I've broken teeth, and that's the same. That's a similar pain for me, where I just wish I could get in there with pliers and tear it out, and maybe that would make it better.
Yeah.
But yeah,
that's, it's similar with migraines, and there was an ancient technique called, I don't know how it was pronounced, but it looks like trepanning, T-R-E-P-A-N-I-N-G, mm-hmm. and where it was just basically drilling a hole in your head to let the demons out. So. And that has seemed very reasonable at many instances.
I remember reading about that back in like early 2000s. In fact, I think there might have been a YouTube video that was floating around of some person that did that.
And oh, God.
Yeah.
But there's a history of it throughout history. Anyway.
So this seems like an opportunity to talk about, because we all do set resolutions, or we start out on our new habits and writing habits and health habits and whatnot. And it is really easy to get derailed the first days. I also had similar, in many years past, I've set resolutions to, I'm going to write 1 billion words this year and 18 novels and whatever. I'm just kidding. But, set out on those things and then basically get derailed the first 4 days of the year because it's the holidays and then you're back to work and you're trying to catch all up and you're tired and all the things. Or you get an injury or something that sets you back. And then how do you get back on track and not let that go? Okay, well, the gods have clearly told me I should not be riding or swimming or whatever it is. Like this feels like some good time to coach some, how do you stay on track or rejigger the goal or the focus so that you can stay on track?
For me, I don't beat myself up. Like something like, you know, if you want to swim and you get an ear infection, like you really can't, you can't go swimming with an ear infection. But maybe what was your ultimate goal? Was it to do one thing that's more healthy every day? Or if, like Molly was saying, she's plotting during that time, like, okay, well, I can, even with an ear infection, I could still potentially plot. Or maybe I'm going to go for a walk and think about the plotting. And that's, at least for me, like trying to think like, okay, what was the ultimate goal? But then being very specific about it, not just saying I want to be more healthy, but like I want to do plotting. So I'm going to sit down and I'm going to fill one sheet of paper with a plot idea, or I'm going to sit down and write 100 words and just start with that as like a very simple, one of the things I've been reading about is if you have a set of goals, that's great. Divide them in two, you know, or take whatever, but then be very specific about what it is you're going to accomplish. But then I think if you get derailed, you know the why of what you were doing and you can adjust as necessary, you know, at least for me. And then also I just try not to feel guilty about it. You know, life gets in the way. We're all busy people with families and sometimes life just gets in the way. And so you have to just jump back in the saddle and keep going.
Yeah. Sound advice.
Good advice. So speaking of being derailed, I derailed our check-in. So let's go back to, I think, Darylin.
What is our check-in again?
How did your last 3 weeks go in your writing life?
Well, considering holidays and New Year, and we as WordCrafters moved into a new space on the 1st, so all of that was happening in a very compressed time, it feels like. That all was a lot of busyness, as I know you guys are very familiar with family and whatnot. But I had 2 weeks off right before the holidays to really focus on how I'm going to approach my writing goals and writing life in on top of all of this busyness. And so I was able to, I set very low goals that I'm trying to rebuild my writing habit. And so just writing 5 minutes a day to do some just writing sprints, which are remarkably helpful. And pardon me. Also, just like it's amazing how much you can write in 5 or 10 minutes, and so I've been doing that. As I showed Molly the other day, I've actually written every single day this year so far. And some days were only 5 minutes, but I'm staying on track in that way to just break it up into really, really small things and have real small successes. Knowing that and with the idea of building up to much longer writing sessions and also projects. So yeah. So I'm feeling pretty good about my start to my year. Also, we moved into a beautiful new space and had a little open house this week, and everyone is really excited. And now we have all of these possible new things we can do at WordCrafter. So I'm very excited about the new year.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. How about you, James? How's it going?
Let's see. So I had set an internal deadline for myself of, I think it was January 9th. And this always kind of happens with Michael Cooper, who I write with, where he's got a really aggressive schedule. And his current book doesn't have a pre-order on it, so we have a little bit more time. And I had like a bunch of false starts. And so I've written about 50,000 words, but ended up with 30. And then on the 9th, I was like, hey, what are your thoughts about when you actually want to start working on your portion of this? He's like, oh yeah, I'm not going to get to that till the beginning of February. So I was like, oh, score. I have another month. So I'm still ticking away. I'm trying to sort of do the same thing, like just write every day. I've got like a pretty sweet word tracker that I found that I'll put in the show notes because it's pretty useful. And so I've been something I hadn't been as good about last year was I would know I needed to do work and then like 3 days would go by and I hadn't written, and then I would try and catch up, like, okay, I was going to do 2,000 words a day, on Saturday I'll do, you know, 6,000. And it depends, like before the baby I could do that, with the baby that's extremely difficult. So, you know, slow and steady needs to win the race, and I managed to get at least 1500 words every day so far this year. So things are, you know, just ticking along, and that's working pretty well. And then just trying other streaks, like same kind of thing. Like I want to just take vitamins every day. I haven't been doing that. And so I have like this app that's called Goal Tracker that you basically set up. It's better for things you want to do every day. Like it's not as good for weekly things, but basically you have your little calendar scrolling by. And if you did that thing, you can check it off and then you get a check mark. And if you don't, you get a big red X. And so it's been really motivating to like, okay, I did that, you know, and kind of thinking of other things I can add in there. But I mean, so far it's going okay. Just not getting a lot of sleep, and it's finally sort of settling out that I can write between like 11 PM and midnight. So I've been doing that kind of consistently, and then trying to also write during my lunch break. So if I can get like write at lunch and then write at night, I'm pretty easily hitting my goals. So it's I'm optimistic about it.
Excellent.
So yeah. Yeah. So, okay. I think we were going to talk about intentions for 2019, if that was still the idea, right? Does anyone have any intentions or evil plans that they really wanted to jump in with first?
Molly, I think we'll send that to you.
I know. Yeah, okay. I want to hear your evil plans.
My evil plans. Well, so far, my evil plan includes abandoning some characters. So my first book, my debut novel is out, and I'm pretty much mostly done with book two. I was done with it, and then in writing book three, I realized there's a bunch of content in book three that actually needs to be in book two, so now I'm tearing apart book two and putting it back together. Hence the need for plotting, people. And then in book three, I'm about halfway done with book three, minus all the content that I've moved to book two. Hence the need for plotting. So all of this is to say that I've gotten to the point once again, and it seems to be pretty cyclical with these characters, that I'm like, okay, I need to like just package you all up in a box and throw you in the river. So my evil plan is that I'm going to finish book two and book three and be done with those characters forever and never have to see them again. That is my evil plan. So this involves actually plotting the rest of book two and book three, and getting them written and getting them out, and then sort of relaunching the whole series together, and taking a page off of James's, you know, omnibus editions. Because I think once all three of them, I want to do like a rapid release when I have all three, instead of just doing like one and then waiting like a year and then doing two and then waiting a year and doing three. So I'm looking at stuff like that.
Is that going to all happen in 2019?
I think so. I think that's kind of reasonable. So what I'd like to do is I think that I can have books one, two, and three done by July. And if that's the case, then I can kind of release them all like starting in the last half of the year.
That's exciting.
Oh, wait, so am I hearing right? Is this a totally new series then, aside from...
No, so this is the same series. I'm getting the rights back from my current publisher.
Oh, you are? Okay, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, we've kind of already talked about that.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, it is, and, you know, it's a very amicable divorce. They have been fantastic for me. It's just, their focus is mostly on YA books, and my book just doesn't like the target market, the demographic that I'm writing for is not very YA. So they do a really good job of promoting most of their authors and the authors cross promoting each other and all of that kind of stuff. And I really can't take advantage of any of that. And so I think it's just time for me to go my own way. And I'm really excited about having more control and indie publishing my stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think that's going to be great. I'm really excited.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So July. Okay. We will sort of check in with you and hold you a little bit accountable.
I know. This is the first time that I've actually like stated that goal in public where people can hold me accountable to it. So now it's the thing.
How does that change our blood pact of writing daily so that we can keep you on track?
Well, there's writing daily and there's also editing daily, because book two, it's not a lot of new writing, but it's a lot of editing, because it's a lot of like stitching things back into scenes that already exist and altering things that are already in book two. But I still also need to be doing new writing. So I think as long as I'm doing some kind of new writing, even if it's just a sprint, like a 5-minute sprint, I think that should count for the blood pact. And then the editing stuff, I also need to do that, but I actually need to do that.
Sounds good.
What was your blood? You have a blood pact about writing daily?
Yes, Darylin and I, during the conference in Vegas, we decided to make a blood pact. It's not a real blood, like there was actually no blood
involved.
There was
no blood involved.
We're too squeamish for that. But it's a spiritual binding blood pact.
Yes.
It was a strawberry syrup pact.
Yes. Chocolate.
Chocolate syrup.
Mm-hmm. How about you, James? How are your goals? Or what are your ambitions for the year?
So we're basically publishing the next 5-book series. So I have a pretty kind of set plan on what I want to get done, you know, between now and July. And that's ticking along. Like it's been, I'm putting more, I don't know, I feel more pressure this time around, I guess. Like I'm not as just trying to repeat the, how things went with the last series is kind of making me feel a little bit of pressure. I found like a whole crap load of Goodreads reviews on a different edition of my 5th book that I didn't realize existed. And they were all really good. And so I was like, oh, I have to do this again.
Hi.
Or can't I just not do anything and just coast on this for a little while? So that's kind of why I've been doing, like, you know, I feel like I have been doing a lot of plotting, but I haven't been doing a lot of like scene level plotting. And that's where I feel like I'm kind of wasting work in some ways. But that's been, I mean, it's another 5-book series. So if everything goes to the plan I have laid out, and I've been using a tool called Write Track to kind of lay everything out in a calendar with how much, you know, I could get done within the time that I have. And as long as I write every day, it's actually pretty doable. There just isn't a lot of room for rewriting. So that's kind of the difficult piece. But that, you know, I've done it before, so I think I can do it again. But my goal is that I actually have an idea for a book of my own. And I've talked with Michael about it, and he's interested. So he basically has a publishing company that, you know, publishes all the Aeon 14 books. But he's always talked about there being room to potentially publish something individually. And he's got the marketing down. Like if, you know, Penguin Random House would hire this guy to like sell their backlist, they would make, you know, a crap load more money. So that's, we were talking about kind of the details, and it would be a really generous deal from him as far as how the royalty split would work. And so I have an idea for a book that I want to, basically, it's kind of like Tomb Raider meets Guardians of the Galaxy with sort of an Indiana Jones flavor, but, you know, space opera. And I don't think anybody else is doing that. So I'm pretty, I don't know. I need to get through the thing I'm doing now. But then that's something I would like to basically kind of have my own thing maybe before I jump back into more Aeon 14 stuff. So to make that happen, it's like consistent writing and the streaks I was talking about, like setting that up. I've really been thinking a lot about systems. Like, okay, it's one thing to have a goal, but how am I actually making that happen every day with the time that I have, you know, being realistic about that. And then also this is the first year that I have to do a lot of business planning. Like one huge goal for me is that in April, if everything works right, I will have all the debt paid off from my previous business, the distillery. So I'm very excited about that. Yay. And I'm basically going to be in a place where we'll be debt free except for our mortgage. And so if at that point I can basically just start saving money, like depending on what happens at work, like once I get my son through college and stuff like that, like if I have a good amount of money banked, then I'm in a really good place to potentially go full time, you know, as an author. And so that's kind of what I'm, you know, getting to that step just to be able to, you know, start socking away money. And then also looking at all those systems, because I have to pay taxes this year for the first, actually taxes on 2018. So I'm going to end up paying taxes just as a sole proprietor, but then I'm setting up an LLC and an S corp and some other things for 2019 so that we can be squared away going forward. And so that's something I'm really focused on, is like tracking expenses, learning to use QuickBooks, being intentional about stuff that I buy. So, I mean, really dialing in like write-offs and business expenses. And I mean, one of the cool things about writing is that we can write off a lot of stuff, like our book addictions and things like that, but just tracking it properly. Cause I think that's the thing that kind of gets lost to the weeds. So I'm working on that as well. And trying to come up with a way that, okay, every day for 10 minutes, I track, you know, whatever the last few business things that I did. So I don't end up, cause like right now I'm in a place where I have to basically devote a whole day to combing through all of my like credit card receipts, and I can write off my utilities for the house, you know, at least a portion of those. So I have to go through and like add up all that stuff for the whole year. And I don't want to do that again. So I want to get everything set up for, you know, for next year. So yeah, that's a big goal for me, is to get those systems in place. Cause if there's anything I learned from the distillery, it's that we did not have a proper accountant, and I had a hard time getting my business partner to kind of track these things I needed to track. And I'm not going to make that mistake. I mean, I already had somebody kind of give me a hard time about, why are you paying for an accountant? You can do that stuff yourself. I'm like, yeah, but I think an accountant really helps hold me accountable. And if it's $400 a year or whatever, because if I get everything set up, it's not that expensive. You just hand it off and have them do the taxes and everything. It's worth it to me to do it right. So yeah, that's a big goal for me.
I think one of the things that I've been talking to another author about is trying to figure out how to value your time. And this actually comes from Eric Witchie. We were talking about like at what, you know, how much is your writing time worth? So if you are spending all of this time doing the marketing or doing the other things when you could actually be writing and whatnot. And and so finding things like, is it worth having the accountant? Because, you know, is it going to take you 8 hours versus, you know, paying, which I don't know how much an hour you'd charge yourself for writing and what the value of that is, but it seems like it would be more valuable to, for some of those higher stakes things or those higher, or you know, or those pieces like accounting that are just so outside of the wheelhouse of writing. Mm-hmm. So sorry, there's a note here. So yeah, I wonder if all of that is to say that it seems like it would be worth it to do things like have the accountant where you don't have that, or, you know, go find a cover designer where you, if you don't have those skills, that kind of thing. So it seems like it would be worth it to really evaluate what pieces of your life, even things like house cleaning, like is it worth it to go have a house cleaner and, you know, pay that $20 an hour to have somebody do that versus it, where you could really spend that time writing.
Something I've been feeling a lot lately is like mental exhaustion. And so writing is mentally exhausting, you know, and if I'm already tired from work and everything else and like thinking about work, then the mental effort it takes to like, I can figure out accounting. I'm at least the level of accounting that I'm doing, but you're right. Like having to figure it out, research it, do it, the stress of like knowing I need to do it when I'm also trying to write, like all that stuff just, adds up, and then I find myself surfing Facebook, so I don't want to do that.
Right.
Like, I mean, that's where like Facebook gets in the way, because like here's a stupid thing that just filled 30 minutes that I should have been writing, you know, or
whatever. Well, the other thing for me is that, you know, these are just when I start suffering from writer's block, these are just excuses to procrastinate, and because it makes me feel productive when I do it, then I'm like, oh, it's actually a good thing that I'm, you know, sorting socks instead of writing, because now the laundry is getting done. So I'm actually being a good person. And it's probably true that I'm being a good person by sorting socks, but I would rather be being a good writer than a good sock sorter.
In the realm of like procrastination levels, I'd much rather sort socks than surf Facebook, but
well, I've at least something is where, done at the end of sorting socks that you're not tripping over versus Facebook, which there's
no. You know, I'm so frustrated that Facebook is like kind of the best way to network for writers right now, because I would just love to cut it out of my life, you know, but it really does feel like it's the best place to get information aside from like private Slack channels, you know, but
Yeah, but the problem, especially for newer writers, is there's no way for them to find, you know, there's no way to find those private Slack channels unless you're on Facebook hanging out with the other writers. And
you know, that might be something we could talk about in the next episode, is like how we network. That might be useful. Networking for introverts. That's stuff for 2019 that I'm just thinking a lot about, is getting the business house in order and consistency, consistent output, you know, and the streaks are helping with that. Like just coming up with the actual thing, like an intention is great, a goal is great, but it's the system that will get it done, you know? So that's really what I'm kind of thinking about. So Daryl Lynn, what are your goals for 2019? Or systems or evil plans?
Yes. Well, one of mine is already instigated in moving into a new writing space, or a new space for word crafters, and being able to do way more writing events and build a after school program for young writers. So, which also builds our reading audience, right? So there's a there's an evil scheme in that. And then just more programming for writers. So I'm really excited about that, and having a space where we can bring more like bigger writers down. It doesn't have to be quite as big of a production as taking a conference outside of our space. So now we can do that in-house, and then again, it's all about me. The personal goal there is to be able to talk to all these exciting writers and work with them. So that's really what this whole Word Crafters thing is about.
makes sense.
Yeah, it's a good scheme. But super excited there. And then for my personal writing, as I had said before, I'm really trying to rebuild my writing habit and also get some serious writing done in addition to this whole job thing. I don't know how people do it, but so my goal is I have a novel that I've already drafted a couple drafts of, and I just finished a synoptic outline, and I'm going to finish that. By my goal would be, I don't know if I want to state this out loud just in case, but to have that out this spring, like have it being able to go out into the world and I want to try to do traditional publishing with that one first. And then write one book all the way through to done through the second half of the year. So those are my writing goals. And I'm trying very, to build that reasonably, build up my writing practice reasonably, so that as I hit the middle of the year and I'm finally ready to turn attention to that new draft, that I will be up to speed writing and have a lot of plotting and whatnot done, so I can turn that around quickly. So that's my goal.
Nice. I like how modest it is.
Yeah,
I know. God.
Is that modest? I don't.
Well, no, we put
an overwhelming goal.
It's an ambitious but doable goal.
Well, that's why, years past, I've always gone in like, I'm going to do 100 novels and I'm going to do all of these things, and they aren't ever realistic. So I'm trying to be slightly more realistic. But I also am trying to push myself in somewhat. That first novel took a long, the last couple novels took a long time. So trying to get faster and more concentrated at writing, and not having to take like 6 hours of a writing day just to sit down at the desk and have a half an hour left of meaningful writing. I'm trying to get through that part faster. So, and I just don't have the time.
Is the new book or the new project going to be literary again? Or are you looking at genre, or?
I think I'm going to look at doing a genre book. I have a very tiny, small kernel of an idea that is not anything yet. So it's not even ready to share. But I think I'm going to explore. I've been doing a lot of short stories that I did my NaNoWriMo, and then the last month I've continued to write short stories, and those have all been in speculative. So it's going to definitely be more speculative this time. And less literary.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, I've been hearing a lot of like rumors that maybe the indie movement will start pushing its way into literary, especially as they start trying to find more readers in print. So who knows, we can convince you to go indie.
That would be okay. I just, right now, I know it's much more challenging with that, you know, mainstream literary stuff to do the indie. It just doesn't seem like the right market for it. And this last novel was certainly not written thinking about indie market. So,
Well, you could do, I mean, or you could do like a pen name and have, you know, here's literary stuff and here's other stuff.
Yeah, that's definitely thinking about that.
I mean, I know you've been itching to write those reverse harem urban fantasy books. So
you know it.
This is a way for D.L. Lynn to jump in and do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm super excited about my erotica slash romance novel pen name. Just like that game where your porn star name is your middle name plus the street you grew up on. So Lynn Excelsior. Right. Is going to take that by storm. So yeah,
that's a power name. I think you should definitely run with that. Yeah,
I'm really excited about that. So I'm going to finish the novel, the one novel just sitting there rotting on the plate right now. And then Lynn Excelsior is going to write a novel in 6 months.
There you go.
At the end of the year. Yep. That's what's going to happen.
Well, I think, do you think that you put pressure on yourself with the, I mean, obviously, you have a very high standard because you write quality work. But is it? I don't know. I mean, that's one of the things about a pen name that's kind of useful, is it just frees you up to do whatever. You know, that whole thing about write something as if no one would ever read it, and then don't show it to anyone. But yeah, I mean, it is kind of, if you're writing under your name or writing as yourself, you still feel this kind of pressure to. I don't know. Lynn Excelsior could kick out a novel a month. Who knows?
Yep. That's the goal. So, yeah.
Or at least start the, get into all the short story markets.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I really liked Chris Rush's presentation about the short stories. And that's something I really wish I could do. I just, the time is not working out for me right now. You know, I was hoping to have a little more time to conceive of, or mental space to conceive of short stories, but I don't see it happening right now. So, but I love the idea of writing short stories as content marketing. Mm-hmm. I think that's just a really great idea.
Yeah. But her talk is pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Molly, do you have a editing tip for us this week?
I do have an editing tip. So, one of the things that I have seen a lot lately and in general is the use of, and I'm not going to get into all the technical grammar portions to scare people off, but the use of a verb with the ending of ing, so it's an ing word, and the verb to be on the front of it. So like was running, was yelling, is talking, those kind of things. And the problem with this is that it's not completed. And it sounds kind of wishy-washy. It's not a strong verb. So the easy tip to fix that is when you find something with a to be, you know, either past, present, or future tense, to be verb, and then an ing verb next to it, just change that to the simple past, present, or future tense. So instead of was eating, it just ate. Was running, they ran. So do that, and your sentences will be stronger. The only times that you need the ing words is if it's important in the scene that the character is doing something and then, for example, they get interrupted. So let's say the boy was knocking on the door, and the point of the scene is to show that while he is knocking, something else happens. But if he just knocks on the door and the door gets opened like we expect to happen, then there's no reason to highlight the fact that he is knocking for a certain length of time.
Yeah, I've heard that. The grammar piece of it is really important, but then also something that I had a real problem with when I first started writing was filtering. And so it kind of gets to psychic distance. And by saying, you know, she was watching, you're putting distance between the character and the thing that they're doing. And so if you shorten that up, it's a way to get closer to the character's thoughts. Yeah. And it took me, I kept getting feedback that like, filtering, fix all this filtering. And I'm like, what the hell are you talking about filtering? And then once that was, what, okay, because there's not a lot of information online about what you're talking about. At least there wasn't when I did some research on it.
Well, I have a lot to say on that.
Yeah, but now when that's one of the things I do in a manuscript, actually, is asterisking and just go through and like search all, take a look at all of those instances where I've done that as a quick shortcut when I'm checking a manuscript. And that's a good way to, you know, tighten things up.
Yeah, anytime. So think of it as if you were a director in a Hollywood movie or Netflix TV show, and you are the camera. And when you put in those filtering words, what you're doing is you're watching the character experiencing something rather than being with the character as they experience it. So if you say, she felt cold, well, now you're watching her feeling cold instead of you feeling cold. Instead of saying the room was cold, you say, she felt the cold room. Now we're observing her observing the room. So don't do that.
Yeah.
Or do if you're trying to. But the main thing is don't do it by accident.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's one of those things. It's kind of a literary device, too, that depending on what you're writing, it might make sense if you're trying to write a character who's disconnected or blah, blah, blah. But for genre fiction, the kind of stuff that I do where I want people like inside the characters' minds experiencing their emotions, it's not as effective. So yeah, no, I think that's a great tip.
Yeah.
Okay, goals for next week. Molly, you're up first.
Oh, no. Yes. Okay, so my goals for next week, Blood Pact, 5 minutes every day of new writing, plus I will say either substantive editing, like working on book two, or new writing for book three, in addition to that 5 minutes. Because I have the time and I don't have excuses not to. So those are my goals.
Very good.
Awesome. Darlene?
I've moved into 10-minute writing sprints. Pardon me. And I'm also finding, I know it's probably because I'm avoiding doing actual grant writing, that I'm doing like two or three writing sprints in the evening. So I've been chunking out about 1,500 words. In those 30 minutes, which they're not good words, so don't get excited about that. But
they're words.
Yeah, they're words. But I was able to finish a short story this week, and so my goal next week is I don't want to be quite that ambitious, but I do want to be ambitious enough to say I'm going to complete one short story, but I don't know that I'll get 1,500 words a day, but I'll definitely do at least one 10-minute writing sprint, which is about 450, 500 words at the pace I've been going. So at least one of those and a short story out of it, a short story.
Mm-hmm.
So how about you, James?
Nice. I need to finish the kind of major character arc that I'm on right now with the book, which will take my main character out to the end of this book. And then I really would like to do that this weekend. And that's probably another 10,000. We'll see. I mean, that would mean 5,000 words a day, and we'll see what happens there. But that is something I really want to push through on that, because I need to back up with the book, and I have a couple side plot lines that I need to kind of flesh out. And that won't be as much work, but I would like to be doing that next week. That's where I hoped to be, because I really want to give myself like a week buffer to go through the book again before I hand it off to Michael. And so I'm fast approaching. I realize we're only on the 11th of January, but we're fast approaching the midpoint of January, and then before we know it, it'll be over. So that's really my goal with this week. I need to send out an email newsletter, which I've been having resistance about that, but I just need to do it. I didn't have much to say, but I tracked down a bunch of like free SF ebooks from various places that I'm going to include in the email newsletter. And then I'm working on a reader magnet newsletter pickup thing. That's going to be, I wrote a novella for an anthology collection that we had come out in AN14, and I'm going to read it and use that as like a short, as a giveaway for a newsletter. I feel like that'd be a pretty strong giveaway. But I just need to do it. It's 20,000 words. So it's probably, you know, four hours, but I need to like set the time and do that. But that's something I want to get done in this next week. So we'll see what happens there. Maybe Sunday night is when I'll set the time aside to do that.
All right. So you're talking about actually creating an audiobook out of that?
Yeah, basically.
Oh, that's cool.
It wouldn't, you know, basically being very upfront about the fact that read by the author, but I am also curious about, because I've got a setup that, you know, right now I'm talking on my phone, but I've got a, if we're not doing video conferencing, I have a pretty good audio recorder with a lapel mic that is doing a much better job than I expected it to do as far as clarity in the recording. So I think it might actually work. Like, it might actually be audible worthy. So we'll see. But I would just basically distribute this through like BookFunnel or something to fans just to pick up some more newsletter. I really want to, I'm not interested in picking up like a ton of email addresses, but I would like to get the people that I really want to talk to, you know? So I think doing something like this would get that. So,
yeah.
So we'll see.
Very exciting.
And I'd also like to have more of a wide, like right now, all the audio we have is tied up in ACX, and I'd like some stuff that we can share outside of ACX. So, yeah. That's it.
Very exciting.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see if I get there.
All right, okay. So tune in next time to see how we did.
I know. Next time we will let you know if we're crying or how the blood pact works, if the chocolate has been handed over.
Yes.
Yeah. You're welcome to join the blood pact too, James.
Yeah. What could I do? Like babysitting. If I reach my goals, I get babysitting. Maybe that.
Oh.
I know.
Yeah, we'll but see. Who does that babysitting? You're not looking at us.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. Well, it was great talking to everybody. I guess we will talk to each other next week.
Yeah. Nice to see everybody.
Okay.
Have a great week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.